Hello, Symphony, and welcome to today's devotional. We are continuing on in our series in 1 Samuel with chapter 24. When Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the wild goats' rocks. And he came to the sheepfolds by the way, where there was a cave. And Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. And the men of David said to him, "Here is a day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.'" Then David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way. Afterward, David also arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, "My Lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Behold, David seeks your harm'? Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. And I said, 'I will not put out my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you, but my hand shall not be against you." As a proverb of the ancient says, out of the wicked comes wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it, and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand. As soon as David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. And you have declared this day how you have dealt with me, in that you did not kill me when the Lord put me into your hands. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safe? So may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore to Saul. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Amen. Now, as we've been reading recently in 1 Samuel, Saul has been vehemently chasing after David to take his life. In today's passage, we see that Saul unknowingly came into the dark cave that David and his men were hiding in. It was the perfect chance for David to be covert and to finally take Saul's life. His exhaustion, fear, and paranoia from being hunted down could all end in one swift move of the sword. But we see that David does something surprising. He spares Saul's life. He even prohibits his men from killing him too. David knew that he was to inherit the throne from Saul, yet he knew that killing him was not the way God had intended for him to get there. This is a very surprising and telling move of David's character and his faithful obedience to God. Have you ever been tempted to take shortcuts to get to where you wanted to go? Or perhaps you felt like God has called you to do something, but you didn't see doors opening up, so you just took things into your own hands. We may even justify sin or poor behavior if we are able to get to the goal. Little white lies may seem harmless, and cutting corners, as long as others don't see them, may not be so bad after all, right? At least that's what our brains and hearts tell us in the moment. For example, I know many people who have a gifting in music and worship, yet they can often jump the gun and seize every opportunity to lead and take the stage. But when our character is not built to match the calling, it quickly becomes about us, the attention, reputation, and so on. It's a very real temptation. For me, there was an elongated season where I felt like God was keeping me in the hidden place before I could be really released in my gifting. I knew that my gifting was in worship, but I felt like I wasn't getting too many opportunities to grow at the time. I was being tempted with leaving Boston to attend writing camps or worship leader internships across the country. I was growing impatient with God and wanted to figure out what my next steps were. Yet I knew that God had ordained me not to go. He ordained me, rather, to stay and to serve our church. In that season, I learned so much about behind-the-scenes support, how to submit to others, how to encourage and uplift people around you, etc. And I will be the first to admit that I'm not perfect, though. There have been many, many times in seminary where I've been tempted to cut corners by skipping readings, by making up reflections, for example. What about you? Let's take time today to reflect on this area of your life. Perhaps you are in this waiting season right now and are tempted to take things into your own hands. Let's remember that God's ways are higher than our own and that His ways are better. Let's surrender control to Him today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this word that reminds us that truly your ways are better than ours. That God, even when we are in a season of waiting, that you are still so patient with us, even when we become impatient with you. God, I pray that for our church that you would help us to be a people set apart that waits well. God, that waits on your timing, that will not forego and excuse sin in order to get to where we're trying to get to, but rather that we would be waiting with you in the hidden place, God. So God, I pray just like David that you would give us a spirit of obedience to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.